The show will begin.
Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got through on the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Broke intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks and Jeff Feagles. Now, this is the first. You and I, we haven't really hosted in quite a while. You typically host
about a month ago
with Schmelk on Fridays. What do you guys call this? Is there like a hashtag? Is it like Freaky Friday, Fun Friday? Like, what do you guys normally call your Friday?
During the season, it can get pretty crazy on Friday here with Schmelk and I. I always like to just say Happy Friday to everybody because it is a Happy Friday for a lot of people in the building because no one's here. But we're here because we care.
Well,
no, just
let's,
kidding.
But I mean, understand why majority of people aren't here is because it's President's Day on Monday. So, you know, people wanted to take Friday
Somebody's got
to
work.
It's cold outside.
Oh, my God. Yeah. But you know what? It's just a subtle reminder that winter, there is winter here, even though the weather has been outstanding this winter. But it's great to be here. Anita, good to see you. I know you're fresh back from your West Coast trip. And
I just flew in last night. I arrived at midnight. I made my way back from San Francisco. And I tip my, not that I'm wearing a hat, but my hat to San Francisco. I think the city did a phenomenal job hosting Super Bowl 50. Was there all week and then spent some time in Napa and Sonoma. Flew home last night, but
great places.
But really, really did a phenomenal job. And you know what was really interesting is that the teams were not even near the city.
No, I heard that. Yeah.
You had teams that were, so the Denver Broncos, they were in Santa Clara, so they were like 45 minutes out of the city, and then the Carolina Panthers, they were in San Jose, so they were like an hour and 15 minutes. So, but horrible, I'm sure, as a player, but I'm sure as an organization and a coach, I'm sure they love that fact that they were nowhere near the ESPN party, the Madden party, the Glazer party, the, you know what I mean?
But,
like all the.
But kind of, sort of, because I mean, with players, you kind of want to, you know, earlier in the week, you can go to some of those things. You know, you're not going to be out till 2 a.m, that kind of stuff. But the downside to being that far away, the guys are going to want to go to where the action is. You know, and they're not going to get in trouble. There wasn't much happened other than that incident that with the Broncos guy. But you know, that far away is just, it's depending on where they're practicing too. I don't know, were they practicing close to where they were staying?
Because, yes, exactly.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, that's good.
So the Broncos practiced at the San Francisco 49ers facility, and then and Carolina practiced at I'm sure some type of college, some type of university in San Jose.
Well, I know that when we were in Phoenix in 2007, we had about a 20-minute drive. It wasn't too bad. But I know that when we were in London, we had over an hour drive to practice because of the traffic and just being where it was. We went out to the soccer fields at Manchester United, which was pretty cool if you were a soccer fan, which I'm not. But I think that there had to be 10 to 15 football fields out there. So a lot of grass. But, you know, as far as the Super Bowl goes and those guys driving around, it was all worth it if you were the Denver Broncos. But, you know, good to see you back now. And now you're back to reality and you're home and you got
back to reality is for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that we got a lot of stuff going on as the offseason progresses. We're now into what the NFL calls their new calendar year. And so things start to happen with that. And there's some salary cuts going on with certain teams and players getting cut and asking to take pay cuts and all that kind of good stuff. So, you know, we can talk a little bit about that today if
you
want.
It's interesting you say that because, okay, so February 16th is the first day of a 2-week period where teams can designate their franchise or transition players. So just to give you an idea of some of the important dates, you mentioned the dates.
So today's the 12th.
So the 16th is the first day of the 2-week period where teams can place that franchise tag on a player.
Tuesday.
February 23rd through the 29th is the scouting combine in Indianapolis. We will be live. Myself and Schmelk will be broadcasting live a special 2-hour show each day, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday from the combine.
Sweet.
So pretty stoked about that. March 3rd, well, this is separate. I wrote this down. March 3rd, the Deflategate case reopens.
Oh.
So right. I'm sure a lot of Giants fans. Well, yeah. Actually.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. March 7th through the 9th, NFL teams are allowed to negotiate with unrestricted free agents during that 2-day period. And then March 9th is the first day of the 2016 calendar year in the NFL. And that's when all hell breaks loose.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's going to be an interesting a month ahead, really, in regard to free agency, franchise tags, working out deals with unrestricted free agents, trying to get them signed, the combine.
And that 2-day thing is fairly new because it really was, back when they didn't have that, there was a lot going on behind the scenes, agents talking to players and coaches and teams. And so they decided, hey, you know what, we're going to open this up 2 days before the real one starts to you can get some deals done, which never made sense to me. Just open it up. I don't know. But I remember, back when I was a free agent, it was a fun time because you really were you kind of were excited about what was going to happen. You didn't know until it started, and it was midnight that day that it started that if you were a hot commodity, which I was 1 year, that phone rang at 12:01.
Everybody wanted that boot.
Oh, man.
Everybody wanted that Feagles boot. 12:01
that morning, the phone was ringing, and it was pretty exciting. But I had no idea that was going to happen. It was really crazy. So it all worked out. And part of it was, whenever you're a free agent as a player, if you have more than one team, then you're in a good spot because you can play one against the other. But, if you're one of those guys where you think that something's going to happen and it doesn't, and you only have the team that you used to play for lowballing you and doing, it's not a fun thing. So we'll see what happens, with a lot of these free agents. I think a lot of these guys that we think that are going to be free agents, I know Schmelk's always had his little thing up here, are going to be franchised. You know, I mean, the first one right there, Von Miller, he's not going anywhere, unfortunately. I think a lot of teams would love to have him.
Well, there's a lot of topics we're going to really touch on today. As we know, Will Beatty, Jeff Schwartz, John Beeson, no longer a part of the Giants organization. I want to get your thoughts on that. Justin Tuck, he's going to sign a contract with the Giants for 1 day to retire a Giant.
Good.
We'll get on that. What can we expect for Victor Cruz? But also, we take your calls. That's the way this show works. 201-939-4513 is the phone number, 201-939-4513. Also, hashtag Giants Chat. I'll be monitoring Twitter throughout the show. That's how you can get a hold of us as well. And want to remind you, fans, don't forget that Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter the promo code CONTACT to play for free. Today, DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. Interesting, this week on DraftKings, because it's the NBA All-Star Game,
yeah.
Because there's no football, because baseball's just nothing. Pitchers and catchers are just recently,
soon.
You know, reporting. It's that, you know, spring training is just getting underway. The only two things that you can really play on DraftKings this week is hockey.
And All-Star.
And golf. Yes.
So oh, that's right. So maybe, the All-Star game is Monday, so it's not this weekend.
Right.
Yeah.
So maybe, just maybe, before the show's over, you can give us some insight on some of the guys that you think are going to be at the top of the leaderboard
right.
out there at Pebble Beach.
Sure.
Not right
yeah.
now, but
no,
but,
I'll give it to you. I was watching a little bit of it yesterday.
Marinate in that. Maybe yeah. we can give some folks some insight if they want to dabble in some.
I'll give you
fantasy
some insight
golf.
About where they're playing Pebble Beach if you ever get a chance. And I had said to Anita, you know, she was in that. Area, if you will.
Why didn't I stay and play golf?
Or just you're a golfer, so just to even go down there and check it out is amazing. I mean, there is some great golf down in that peninsula there. It's just ridiculous. Cypress Point, it's just one of the top golf courses in the country, in the United States, in the world, is right there, along with Pebble Beach. So Pebble Beach, you better get your checkbook out. It's a little expensive to play there. So.
Jeff Feagles, Anita Marks, and, of course, you. Let's head out to the phone lines. I know a few people already on board. Let's go to Dre calling in from Atlanta. Dre, welcome in. You're first up with Big Blue Kickoff Live today.
Hi, Dre.
Hey, what's going on, Feagles? Hey, Anita, how's everything going?
Doing well, my man. Doing well. Just, you know, what can we do for you? You doing all right?
I'm doing great. It's Friday.
You always are.
got a question for you. You know, I've been reading a lot of commentary in reference to if they bring in even draft a strong side linebacker, the possibility of bringing Kennard inside to play middle linebacker. But it seemed like the decision of bringing in middle linebacker is more or less to save him from any further injury of giving the responsibility to cover linebackers outside in the flat to, you know, keep his lower extremity injuries down. You know, what's your outlook on that, finally moving Kennard inside that middle linebacker?
Well, I like it. I think he's big enough to play there. I also like his intelligence, being able to make the calls. And I think that you're going to have to take on those linemen coming at you straight at you. So it may cut down on a little bit of those injuries. But, you know, I think that as a linebacker, injuries are going to happen. They're you're going to go through the whole season with them. But, I think that he has to have a comeback year coming up this year because, you know, he missed a lot of time last year. There was a lot of confidence and a lot of excitement about Kennard and how he's going to fit into this defense. And now he's going to need to get healthy and get in there. But I like the move. I really do.
See, and my last question. I love big corners, you know. Mm-hmm. You're under 6 foot and slow, I got some problems. And looking at the recent free agents that are coming out, you know, if we don't re-sign Prince at a good price, is there any cornerbacks you want to see on the team that you think will fit Spags' scheme? And I'll take that answer off the air. Thanks for taking my call.
Well, Dre, thank you for calling from Atlanta.
I mean, I don't think he's going to be – you look at we have this top 20. Number two is Josh Norman, but he's not a big guy, so he wouldn't be what you wanted, Dre. But he's a pretty good player. I haven't got into it all that much yet, as far as the free agents go. But certainly, you got to understand that the Giants got to do something at cornerback because Prince is unsigned. We have Cromartie for a couple more years, which is a good thing. I think they'll find somebody. I think that they will get a cornerback in free agency. I also think that they may look at a safety really hard in free agency. So those two positions, I would count on it, them going out and finding somebody, in my opinion.
And let's go back in regard to Devon Kennard. In looking at JT Thomas, Devon Kennard, I'm trying to think who else in regard to – Do you feel that this is a position that they're going to go out as well? They're going to have about $60 million to play with. They're going to be some pretty big players in free agency. Castillas.
Castillas, yes.
How do you see that linebacking core shaping up if they do put Kennard in? So obviously it would be Kennard, JT Thomas, and you think they go out and get a free agent? Do you think that they draft somebody?
Well, historically we know about the drafting the linebackers, so that doesn't, highly. But I don't know. I just think, Castillas is not a – I don't think seeing him as a starter. He's that role player. He can come in when he needs to. I think that Jasper Brinkley is a guy that you have to think about because I thought he played very well last year.
He was very impressive.
So, and I don't know his contract situation, but I think he's one guy that has to be a topic of discussion in there, along with Kennard and maybe a draft pick or a free agent, definitely. So.
And in regard to Prince Amukamara, I think it's interesting. If I look back on this season, you and I haven't had this conversation yet, but if I was to say, okay, here was in my opinion, the MVP of the Giants defense, and even though we know how bad the defense played, but still to pick the one guy that I felt was just the most consistent, who really showed up, who really balled, made some plays when he needed to, was Dominic Rogers Cromartie. So now when you're looking at Prince Amukamara, the waters might come after him with some pretty hefty amount, but do you pay Prince more than you pay Dominic Rogers Cromartie? Considering, I think one would argue Dominic Rogers Cromartie is the better corner on this defense.
Well, I don't think anybody would argue with that. I think that when you decide to pay players, part of the equation, if you will, is the health of that player. Can that guy stay on the field for the money that you're going to pay him? You look at Prince, and that he doesn't fit into that equation. I mean, he doesn't. He hasn't been all that healthy the last couple of years, so that's going to hurt him in free agency. He is still certainly a good cornerback, but to get the kind of money that Cromartie had commanded, I don't see it happening. But you know, the Giants will make an offer to try to keep him, and you know, they're the market maker. They're the ones that sit there and they look at their evaluate their free agents and say, do we want these guys back or we don't want them back? If we do, these are the offers that we're going to make them because they want to try to retain them before they go out. If the player decides that that's what he feels he wants and he wants to stay here and he doesn't want to go out, then he'll take it. But the Giants basically make their own decisions on this is the money that we're going to pay you. Go out in free agency, Anita. Go out and see what you want to get and then come back to us. And, you know, if it's better, then maybe we'll offer it, we'll match it or not. But this is what we're going to give you. And that happens every year. And most of the time, guys just go out and test the market. Now, whether they get the money or not, that's to be seen. But there's a lot of things that play into that type of questioning in your mind. Like, you know, are you happy with the organization? Are you happy with your position coach? Are you happy with the players? You know, sometimes $1 million spread out over 3 or 4 years isn't that big of a deal if you want to stay at home. And some players, this is home for them. So
right.
There's a lot of things that has to go into it. I know that when I got into later in my career, we're not talking about any of these guys that are in their, you know, in their late 30s, but you have kids in school. All this stuff kind of comes into play when it comes to free agency.
201-939-4513 is the phone number. That's how you want to get on board. Also hashtag Giants Chat. I'm monitoring Twitter. I'll be sharing your tweets throughout the show. Jeff Fiegels, Anita Marks, and you. Let's go to Richie calling in from Long Island. Richie, welcome. You're on board.
Hi, Rich.
Hey, Anita. Hey, Jeff. Nice to speak to you guys.
You too.
I just want to let's take a step back from, you know, talking about, like, players and coaches and schemes and whatnot. You know, I don't really hear this topic too much because I was watching, you know, games with my wife over the past couple seasons. She was telling me, of course, you know, Anita, I always love getting a woman's perspective on things like uniforms and, you know, clothing. And my wife was telling me, she's like, why do the Giants never play with their throwback jerseys? Or why don't they play with the alternate jerseys, the red jerseys that they used to play with? You know, it'd really be cool to see that come back again. I don't know if that's ever going to happen in the future or if they're going to do anything new with the jerseys. I mean, I know they did the white pants.
Yeah, that was new.
This past year. That'd be, you know, it'd be really cool to see something like that. Or when they were honoring the 25th anniversary of the Super Bowl team for them, that game would have been cool to see them playing, you know, the throwbacks. I was thinking something like that. But, yeah, just to get your take, maybe, you know, are they going to do anything this season coming up with, like, something different with jerseys or anything like that?
I have no idea.
Richie, thanks for your call. I don't know.
I mean, I know that,
something special when they go to London?
Not necessarily, but when you look at the Giants, I mean, they're pretty, their uniforms haven't changed all that much over the years, you know, but other than the decal here or, you know, the pants and... but I know back, I don't remember exactly what year it was, but in the middle of the 2000s there, we were wearing those red jerseys. But so I think it has to do with the league, and I think the league gives you the option to how many times you want to wear something like that during the week.
Remember last season, what were the games last season where, like, the two teams wore, like, one color and it was like a bright, like, Tampa Bay played and it was just like this, like,
oh, and remember the people that were colorblind,
like,
had, they couldn't... They
Right, the people
they couldn't
were
make out the game.
They couldn't make out the game. Right. What? And that happened a few times. What?
Maybe somebody can
help
those
us the
out.
Were those the Thursday night games?
Yeah, I think they were. They were the NFL Network games, and there was.
Was that the Thursday night games?
It was called something. I know it's a good point, but yeah, they hopefully the Giants never do that because they were god awful, really bad. At least for as older people.
Are you superstitious at all? Like, for example, the reason that the Denver Broncos did not wear orange was because they were 0-4 in their orange jerseys.
Well, worse.
And then Carolina, the reason Carolina wore black was for something. Like both teams, Denver wore white, Carolina wore black for superstitious reasons. Are you superstitious at all?
No, I never was when I played. I mean, I could actually grab a brand new pair of cleats and go out and punt in them. That's a good thing because, I mean, sometimes things happen, you know. Cleats, you don't, for some reason, don't make the trip, and, you know,
schemes.
But that would not, I mean, that would not be cool. But I think that, you know, my son told me the other day that I guess the last 12 out of 13 teams that wore white won the Super Bowl. That was a statistic that was pretty cool. So
interesting.
There are in football, I'm sure in many sports, guys are very superstitious. Baseball particularly, the really bad one. But football, guys are definitely superstitious. They'll wear the same shirt. They'll wear, you know, they'll eat the same thing on the same day.
I'm just curious. Is there like some type of superstitious thing here with the Giants that they don't wear their reds as much as they used to?
I don't think so. I know that when we did wear the reds, I don't think anybody liked them. I don't think they liked the reds. I think they like the white pants. I think the white shoes. I think it makes them look faster and they feel faster. So as a football player, that's a good thing. But who knows? Maybe it is. But I think that the NFL allows teams to do their throwbacks once or twice a season. It seems like Pittsburgh and Green Bay do it every year, right? They have those god-awful, ugly
the bumblebee
uniforms.
The bumblebee uniforms. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Brandon calling in from New Jersey.
Brandon.
Brandon, you're up.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, I want to get back to free agency. I want to get down to business, man. I want the Giants to get back to the playoffs, man. That Denver game riled me up and made me look back at how we used to win Super Bowls, man. That Peyton in there.
Defense.
I think that gives some type of motivation, too. Anytime he sees his brother, the next year, he comes back even better. So hopefully that's a good thing. But these are the key three people I want to get in free agency.
Okay.
Malik Jackson, Denver's not going to be able to keep him. And it's going to be a lot of people wanting him, but I think the Giants could get him. Malik Jackson, Trevon Vathan, and that defensive end from the Dolphins. We need to get them three guys in free agency on defense. Those are three main pieces that we need and could contribute in right away. And then I want to go heavy in the draft, first pick. In the draft, we pick a pass rusher. We got to rebuild this defensive line. Putting Malik Jackson next to Jonathan Hankins, that would be crazy. We could push that pocket the way we used to and everything. We had that guy from the Dolphins flying off the edge. If everything works out with Pierre Paul, I think he'd be back and better. And we draft a guy in the first round from a pass rusher. And we still got Owe coming back. We could build this defensive line back up, if y'all can hear me, really quick, and get a right tackle out of the draft. Hello?
Yeah, we're listening. Right tackle, right, okay. Let me ask you a question.
Get the right tackle out of the draft, and I'll get that wide receiver from the Cleveland Browns also. That's a free agency. We don't have to go out and get the big name, Alshon Jeffrey. That kid from the Browns, that's a free agent. The wide receiver, I can't call his name. He's good. And pairing up with Odell and Victor coming back, that could be looking crazy. And then Dwayne Harris, and then we still got the kid that we drafted last year. He's going to play this year. We're going to be the way we need to be.
Brandon, thank you for the phone call. I think he's talking about Travis Benjamin. I think Travis Benjamin's a free agent out of Cleveland. I mean, Brandon really gave us a lot.
Yeah, he did.
Let's go back first and foremost, because he did talk about the offensive line. He said the Giants should go out and they should draft a right tackle. No Will Beatty, no Jeff Schwartz. They've been released by the team. So right now, how this offensive line looks is Eric Flowers, Justin Pugh, Rich Berg, Bobby Hart. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then needing a right tackle.
Definitely need, yeah, I think that's a priority. Do you want to go out and draft one and start another, you know, another year with a rookie right tackle like you did as the rookie left tackle last year? I think that Flowers needs to stay at left tackle, in my opinion.
It's interesting that you say that, because I do. I've spoken to a few scouts and a few coaches out there in the NFL who actually feel that he would be best suited on the right side of the line.
But I like what he did last year, and I think he can build on that experience, where if he moves to the right tackle, he's a good player. I think he'll do fine at it, but I just like the experience being in there for 1 year and having that type of experience. Bobby Hart, he's a guy that we got to see a little bit play last year. I don't know why he didn't play the last game of the season. We were talking about this last week with John. It was strange because Dallas Reynolds started over him on that game, I believe. And so I just, you know, offensively from the line position, definitely in need in free agency. Definitely a need in drafting. you know, and so I think that the right tackle, that's where our the whole emphasis is going to be. I think they draft somebody. I really do. And I also think they get somebody in free agency too. Maybe not a high price free agent, but somebody to come in here and actually they can fill in if they need to. But this offensive line, when you look at Bobby Hart, you know, you look at Richburg, Pugh, and Flowers, got a lot of draft picks invested in that offensive line. Why not continue with it on that right tackle position too?
How impressed were you with Bobby Hart? Did you expect to see this much from him so soon?
Well, I'm not a big huge talent evaluator, but I know that when I was in Cincinnati last year when we went to preseason and got to watch him practice for a couple of days, I thought I was like very impressed with him. And in talking to some other guys, ex-players around from the Giants, they've been very impressed with him too. So I think that we'll see how he goes in minicamp and all and into training camp, and we'll see what happens. But I was impressed with him.
And keep in mind, the offensive line, they're going to get a new position coach.
Yes.
This season. I know nothing's been announced yet. The Giants, Ben McAdoo, is waiting to complete the entire staff before they do make the announcement. But it will be interesting in regard to that position, getting a new position coach moving forward.
And Bobby Hart's got a little bit of a mean streak in him too, which is kind of nice to see. I like that. They need that, an offensive lineman.
Tight end, Will Tye, had an opportunity. We saw him step up
and
really grab that brass ring and really do the most with it, what he could. But your thoughts at that position, is that a position you feel the Giants still need to focus in on, whether it's free agency or the draft?
I think you're going to agree with me here. I think a lot of people will. I'm tired of seeing on Sundays the tight end really kind of control football games offensively. You know, you look at Greg Olsen, you look at all these guys, and I just kind of sit there and think to myself, as good as Eli has been the last couple years, with really no tight end that we can really write home about, imagine in this offense with the skill players that they have, to have a tight end like a Greg Olsen or a Jimmy Graham or someone of that stature that to have with Eli. I mean, it would be amazing to me. Now, let's not say I thought that Will Tye had just a breakout season. Nobody knew about this guy from Stony Brook, for God's sakes, right? But you know, there's going to be a nice competition with coming back next year with Larry Donnell and him. But in my opinion, and this was a question asked to us a couple weeks ago, is does he deserve the right to start next year? And I believe he does. I think that he really proved that he's a better blocker. He can catch the football. He makes nice plays after the catch. So yeah, but he's not that kind of guy.
So you feel going into training camp, you feel this is Will Tye's position to lose.
I do, unless they bring a high price tight end to come in here. But I do, and I think that I think Larry Donnell will compete for that job also. Coming off of his healthy situation, we'll see what happens, but. I would love to see the Giants go after a tight end of someone like a Greg Olsen, and I'm not saying that Greg Olsen, I don't even know, he's not a free agent, I don't know, but you know what I'm saying, that type of player that could be impactful to that position and be able to be a tight end receiver. I'm not worried about so much the blocking. I just want him to catch passes like all these other guys do, because I know that in the years when Eli had a tight end like Boss and Ballard and those guys, man, he loves that tight end. And I think as the season went along, he got very more and more comfortable with Will Tye, and that's why he had all the catches that he did.
I think one thing that we started to see as the season, as you said, as the season progressed, is we saw Will Tye be that third option for Eli Manning, and the running back stepped up and helped with pass protect, as opposed to the running backs, you know,
did.
Balling out and being a part of the passing.
And we kept asking ourselves, why are they not throwing it to the running backs? You know, where are these guys? But they were
you
throwing
saw that you saw that change there. Here are some tweets for you. Again, you can hit us up 201-939-4513 or on Twitter. That's hashtag Giants Chat. This is from Will. He says Giants should target Casey Hayward and Brandon Boykin at cornerback. My target free agent is Rolando McClain, a best coverage middle linebacker in free agency and only 26 years old.
Yeah, and he's had some health problems too, but I think that that's a good name. It's a real good name, and you know what? Would like to have a nice pass coverage linebacker, because I think that is one of the weaknesses that this linebacking crew has is out there covering.
Mikey says trade for Josh Gordon. A few things. Josh Gordon needs to be.
And he's the one from Cleveland that they were talking about.
Well, Travis Benjamin from Cleveland is a free agent.
Wow.
But Josh Gordon needs to be what's the word I'm looking for? Not resubmitted, but he needs to be allowed back in the league first and foremost.
Oh yeah, reinstated.
Reinstated. Yeah. He needs to be reinstated by the league. And I'll tell you what, I had an opportunity to speak with Hugh Jackson while I was in Cleveland, and I think Hugh Jackson would like to try to keep Josh Gordon on that football team. Wow. Giants. This is from AJ Marshall. Giants, go get a right tackle in free agency. Get one in the later rounds. You know, it's tough though. It's tough to get. I mean, the fact that Bobby Hart came seventh round, and I mean, you've got to tip your hat to the scout department. I know a lot of times they get a lot of criticism, but you got to tip your hat to them in regard to finding that diamond in the rough. I mean, how many seventh round picks are able to shine, step up and shine in their first year as a rookie in the NFL?
Bradshaw, it's about the only one I know. Man, then did he? But you're right, and you know what? That's where teams need to get lucky there. They need to find that sixth and seventh round draft pick that actually can turn into an all pro here or there, you know, or a really solid football player. Because those later rounds, basically sixth, seventh rounds, those are really free agents when you think about it. But if you can get lucky on one of those, and whether it's a right tackle or whoever, that would be outstanding, very outstanding.
All right, let's continue with our calls. We go to James in New York. James, welcome in.
James.
Hi, Jeff. Hi, Jeff. Hi, Anita. How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I was going to say, Anita, I wish you were working after the Super Bowl, because Paul was talking a little reckless about Cam Newton, you know, as far as him not being an elite player.
What? But, wait a minute.
Yeah,
What?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Paul didn't go there.
He's the MVP.
He went on for he had MVP, 15 touchdowns. He said he's not even an elite player. So I was like, okay.
No way. I've got a.
I'll tell
Did
you
why. Did
you
hear this? Were you hosting
No,
with
but
Paul?
I can tell you exactly
Come
why
on,
he said.
Paul.
I know. We all know DeTino, and DeTino is old school. And DeTino, he cannot stand the way that Cam Newton conducts himself. That's his problem. So he's taking all that into consideration when what he does on the football field is pretty impressive. He's the MVP of the league. I would say that he is elite.
Exactly. And, you know, he just doesn't like, you know, the way he celebrates and stuff like that. So it turns
into
a whole thing. So I get it. But, I'm just looking at, you know, about the season, last season. I mean, I'm looking at the team, right? Okay, we have maybe five or six games where he lost by, you know, 1 point, right? Or, you know, last second.
Sure.
So with that saying, I'm just thinking, why wouldn't we bring back, you know, pretty much our free agents and look into maybe getting, you know, one or two players to just bolster the same team and, you know, and build on last year, because the team is close. And I think Eli even said that during, you know, recently, like, okay, the team is close, so why are we looking to make mass changes, from last season?
Because, James, do you really want to have that situation again where it comes down to the last 60, 90 seconds of a ball game? Don't you want to improve your team, improve your roster so that, you know, maybe it gets into a situation where there's maybe 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter and Nassib is in the game because Eli Manning doesn't really have to suit it up anymore? I'd rather see that if I'm a Giants fan. I mean, you know, that's why you constantly want to get better. You each and every year you want to improve, whether it's through free agency or the draft.
Yeah, no, definitely improved. But, I mean, like, I look at the Giants this season sort of like the Panthers last season, where they were, I think, like a 5-8-1 team, where they were losing last-second game, same way we lost. But they came back with pretty much the same nucleus. But, you know, I'm just saying build on what we have. I'm not – so, you know, re-sign Prince. I mean, re-sign pretty much the guys we have, and then maybe get, like, a linebacker that can cover or you know, a Marvin Jones type of receiver.
Well, I think that a lot of guys in this
Thank
team,
you for your call, James.
Thank you, James. Yeah, I think, you know, even though they were in the games, they lost the games. And I think that, to me, the first part of that is to understand why. And in my opinion, it was I feel that there was a leadership void in this team last year. So, in my opinion, I would like to see them try to find, you know, some guys step up that are on the team and become those leaders. Or find some guys out there free agency-wise that can come in here and be leaders on a football team, because they do have some talent. Defensively, obviously, is where we're missing here, because offensively, the Giants can go out there and I think perform at a high level, like just with the team that they have now. We've got to have a couple other parts that need to be added. But defensively, I mean, you look at like up to 12 games of the season, 13 games of the season, the Giants had 9 sacks. We got to improve on that. Your pass coverage, they were one of the worst in the league. So we're talking about re-signing Prince, and we need another safety. You had a rookie safety. There's a lot of things that need to be done rather than just bring everybody back and say, hey, we almost won 5 or 6 games. There's a lot of things to be done here, and I think that it starts up front, in my opinion, on the defensive line, in the draft, in free agency, to get back to what the Giants do, and that's rush the passer and put pressure on the quarterback. Copycat, what do you think the teams are going to start doing? They saw what the Denver Broncos did with Von Miller, getting after the quarterbacks, getting after Brady, getting after Cam Newton. That's what everybody's going to try to do now. They got to get after the quarterback. But we knew that. The Giants fans knew that. That's what the Giants do. They get after quarterbacks. But we haven't done that. The Giants have not done that in the last 2 years. They need to get back to that.
Also, look at the past 3 Super Bowls, right? And look at how they've panned out, okay? Seattle, great defense against Peyton Manning, the Denver Broncos, right here in New York City. I mean, that was a game that just, it was complete dominance on the defensive side of the ball of the Seattle Seahawks.
No question.
You just, I mean.
Blowout.
Maybe you were one of the very few who were still watching that Super Bowl in the fourth quarter. The game against, of course, Seattle and the New England Patriots. Defensive play with Malcolm Butler to win the ball game.
Right.
You know, I mean, that was granted. Yes, Seattle going into that game, Seattle had the better defense. I think we can sit here and I think we can both agree.
But somebody made a play.
Should have rushed the football as opposed to pass.
But
defense, yeah. Malcolm Butler, that defense made a play to win the game. And then now all this talk, it was so funny being out there, all this talk about Carolina. And I was one of them. Before I even made my way to San Francisco, I was one of them. Sat here with Lance, hosted a show. I was like, Lance, I don't even think Denver has a shot. Not even a shot. But after being out there and talking to a number of the coaches and a lot of the analysts that were spending time with Denver and spending time with Carolina.
Yep.
That it got that feeling, that eerie feeling, very similar to when the Giants upset the New England Patriots the year that they went undefeated, that Super Bowl that was in Arizona, very similar to that. And sure enough, defense won this championship. Not a knock on Peyton Manning, but defense won this championship. And as much as this is a pass-happy NFL, as much as this is an NFL that really caters to the passing game and putting a ton of points on the board, defense still wins championships. And I think you're right. I think in free agency and I think the draft, I think that the Giants are going to really going to focus a lot of their attention in that area.
Well, I think, you know, it just shows you that it's a passing league. There's no question about that. But if you get pressure on the passer, things happen. Turnovers, they stop drives. I mean, that's kind of what it's getting back to. So I think the defensive coordinators are starting to get a little pissed off that, hey, this is a pass-happy league. Well, what about us? Well, the Denver Broncos and Wade Wilson showed you what about us. They put a defense together out there, one of the best that you've seen in a long, long, long time, and go out. And Peyton knew that he didn't have to win this game. He knew that this defense could keep them in the ballgame as long as he played smart and he didn't make too many mistakes. And you could just see at the end of the game, they're running the football on 3rd-and-8. They're just going to give it to the defense. Just go ahead and take it, guys. You know, we're going to punt the ball down there, and Colquitt's going to do it. He did a nice job in the Super Bowl, by the way. And just, you know, we're going to play it for our defense, and they did. And that's exactly what happened. And I was one of them. I heard you on Fridays when we had you the Friday when we had you on the show. And I was like, there is no way that this Denver Broncos team is going to win the Super Bowl.
You thought I was crazy.
I thought I had
started drinking wine a little too early
listen,
in the day.
I heard it all weekend that I was going to be wrong at my house. My wife was, no way, Denver's going to win. They're going to win. You'll see. Cam Newton is not this. He's not all that. I'm like, oh, bull. I mean, it's just one of those things where, my God, it was just all year that they just poured it on Carolina, but not in that game. Not in that game.
And no. you mentioned Wade Phillips. How about that? How about he goes from coaching the East-West game, and that's where careers really go to die, don't they? Coaching careers go to die.
Or they go to get a job.
and then now he's, I mean, wins the Super Bowl as a defensive coordinator of the Denver Broncos. Really unbelievable story for Wade Phillips. By the way, he's a great follow on Twitter. Do you follow him on Twitter? He's hilarious.
I do. Yeah.
He's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah.
He really is. He's fun to follow.
He really is.
201-939-4513. Also taking your tweets, hashtag Giants Chat. Here's one. This is from AJ. Giants need a veteran blocking tight end, Ladarius Green from the Chargers or Dwayne Allen from the Colts.
Okay.
I don't think the Chargers let Ladarius Green go. I think the time has passed for Antonio Gates. I think Green is the next man up for them in that offense. I'd be surprised if he leaves San Diego. But Dwayne Allen, I think, is a very interesting name
someone
to
like
throw
that
out there.
That's what I'm saying. Someone like that, that they could get in free agency, I would be all for that. I really would.
All right, let's continue with your calls. Let's go to line four. We've got AJ calling in from Carolina.
All right, AJ.
AJ, welcome. AJ, you there? Do we have his mic up, by the way? Yeah, okay. All right, let's go to line three. We have John calling in. Is that from Jacksonville?
Yeah, as the Shakedown crew calls me Godfather John.
All right.
I wonder why.
Godfather
right,
John,
here
welcome
we go.
In.
Much respect, Jeff. How you doing, Anita?
Okay.
Good.
I got two takes, and then I'm going to listen to you.
All right.
I think the reason why they cut Jeff Schwartz is because he said he wouldn't play with his younger brother, who's available, and he's 27 years old, and make a great sign for a right tackle. And two, I think the reason why they brought Mayhew in, and you correct me if I'm wrong, because he's a defensive specialist, and I think he's going to work on those contracts and bringing in some studs in. What do you think?
Well, remember, Mayhew is not the general manager, and he's not the assistant general manager, but I think that he does have some insight on, you know, they've hired him for a reason, and he can bring some of that to the table. And you know that what he's going to be doing in this capacity is taking care of, like you said, is the cap, trying to manage the cap and trying to get players under and being able to be reasonable in how much money you spend, because the Giants spend their money very, very cautiously. They're not going to go out and throw a lot of money at people if they don't feel that they're worth it. So, but we'll see what happens there.
Okay, I thank you, and that's all I had to say.
Okay,
so
good.
You guys have a great day.
Well, thank
and,
you.
Put that on the board. They're going to sign Schwartz as the right tackle.
Okay, another Schwartz.
Put that on the board.
Godfather
John said it.
Okay. Well,
it's funny. You know, I did have a conversation with time with Jeff, and he claims his brother is a better offensive lineman than he is.
Well,
he does say his brother's better than he is.
I would never say that.
I know, right? I wouldn't either, even if it was true. Heck to the no. You know who admits that, though, also, is John Gruden. John Gruden says that Jay Gruden is the better athlete. John Gruden would always say that he'd always have to work twice as hard, even sometimes five times as hard, just to be able to be on the same playing field as Jay Gruden.
Okay,
Were you the better athlete? How many boys in your family?
Well, there's my younger brother. That's it. And
who was the better athlete? Come on.
I was the better athlete.
You were the better athlete?
Yeah, of course.
What did he do? Did he play anything professionally?
No. He just he played high school. He was a good athlete. He's a good athlete. We're all good athletes. But, you know, he just if I'm Gruden, I'll say I'm better. My brother's better than me at something, but he's not a better coach than Gruden. You know, the coaching thing is one thing, but the play, like, they're never going to play football professionally, so who cares who's better? I want to know who's a better coach. Who do you think is a better coach? John Gruden's a better coach than Jay Gruden.
Well, right now.
Yeah.
Jay Gruden's coaching career isn't over yet. Look what he was able to do with Kirk Cousins. Look what he was able to do with Kirk Cousins.
Yeah. And he believed in Kirk Cousins all the way through.
I know, I was the sideline reporter for the UFL in its inaugural year, and so I was on the sideline with the Florida Tuskers, I want to say at least six games, and Jay Gruden was the offensive coordinator, and who was the former defensive coordinator for Washington? He got fired.
What's his name? Yeah. Starts with an H, right?
So Jim Fossil was the
Jim Haslett?
Jim Haslett.
Yeah, there
So Jim Haslett was the head coach of the Florida Tuskers. Jay Gruden was the offensive coordinator. So I got to spend some time with them and get to know them very well. So I'm a big fan of John and Jay. They're both great guys. So.
I like John Gruden.
So I think the future is very bright for Jay Gruden.
Well, after what they did, I think they were the best.
And also he's using John's system.
Yeah, well, there you go.
You know, obviously he's tweaked it here and there, but it's a family affair.
He did a nice job. He's done a nice job. I'm not going to say I like him, but he's a Redskins. I don't like the Redskins.
I'm not saying I like the Redskins either, but
yeah, you are.
No, I'm not.
No,
I'm
just kidding.
I like the coach.
Yeah, well, the coach is a Redskins. How can you like him?
201-939-4513. Let's go to Joe calling in from Pennsylvania. Joe, welcome in.
Joe.
Hi, Jeff. Hi there, Anita.
What's happening?
First, with the Super Bowl, I do agree, you know what I mean, defense. If we would add a few more defensive ends or linebackers that could have ran down Cam them last couple plays, we would have beat them, I thought, you know. Cam did put his foot in his mouth there, Anita. The second day after he was talking to the press, he said he couldn't die for that fumble because he might have hurt his leg. Believe it or not. I mean, it wasn't, like I said before, it wasn't the Pro Bowl he was playing in. It was the Super Bowl. If you ain't going to put out then, I just really, I can't understand him there, you know, really and truly. And he said that exactly the day after. So, on to the Giants there. There is one guy there that they could look now. He was a Pro Bowl guard from the Saints there. I think I say his name right, Jabari Evans or so. I know he's 33, but I think the Giants could bring him in for a look-see, you know, if he was healthy to sign him, you know, for some security there, you know. I think he'd be a good guy, you know.
Well, I what about Jasper Brinkley? You like bringing him back?
Whatever he's too, you know, definitely, you know what I mean?
I
definitely, you know.
Well. I'd rather have him than a 33-year-old guy. I know he's a little.
Oh, I understand, you know. Right. I'm just looking for security and backup, both of them guys, you know.
Yeah.
You know, if we go with younger players to have them there into, you know.
I would just like to get some guys that stay healthy. That's all.
Yeah.
I want.
Oh, I you know? I agree.
I mean, really, I think
that never happens. And your comment earlier, Jeff, you know what I mean, about a bigger tight end, because Eli does throw the ball high. That's I would like to see them get somebody with speed in the receiving core that could, you know what I mean, keep the defensive safeties honest a little more off of. Beckham, you know what I mean, like that, just with some speed, or somebody with height like that, the receiver or the tight end, because Eli does throw that high ball, you know, and so that's about all. So thanks for taking my call, and happy Valentine's Day to both of you.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
As always, thanks for calling in. We appreciate it.
Okay, bye.
You doing something romantic on Friday?
Tonight. I'm going out to dinner tonight.
Or on Sunday, right? It's Sunday.
I'm actually going out of town. I'm going to New Orleans.
Look at you. For
a conference, my other job.
Nice.
So I'm going down there on tomorrow. So I'm going out to dinner tonight. Taking my beautiful wife to dinner.
That's nice. How long are you in New Orleans for?
I'm leaving Saturday night, and I'm coming home Monday night.
Okay.
Just a couple of days.
All right. You know, I lived there for 3 years. I lived in the Quarter.
Oh, okay. I'll have to let you know where I'm staying. Maybe you'll know what hotel it is. So I think I'm on the Strip somewhere.
Do you have your, like, the big thing is your dinner plans. Do you have your dinner plans set?
Yeah, we're going out with the company I work for there. Okay. Got some dinner stuff. So, yeah, they have it planned, which is good.
Want to remind you, Big Blue Kickoff Live brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com, enter the promo code CONTACT to claim your free entry today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. So you've played Pebble Beach before. Again.
Yes.
No football, no baseball yet. NBA is All-Star Weekend. So really the only thing you can like dabble in when it comes to fantasy, when it comes to daily fantasy is hockey and golf. So you've played Pebble Beach. What is the one thing that you need? What's the one skill set? Is it long off the tee? Is it solid with the irons where you're going to hit the green? Is it your putting? Like, So that's how you win at golf on DraftKings, is that you look at the course, you see what skill set is needed in order to win and be at the top of the leaderboard, and those are the golfers that you pick to play on DraftKings, which I think you would really, really love, by
golf
the way.
DraftKings.
Yeah, I think you would.
I should try it out.
You should.
I should try it out.
Look, all you have to do is put in the code CONTACT.
For free.
Exactly.
Maybe I'll take a look at it, but the one thing that you do need at Pebble Beach is driving accuracy, because if you get off the fairways there and getting back in is tough. So, and length, yes, because it can be windy. And if you can, you know, you need to – some of the guys that might be, you know, straight hitters but don't hit it long, they're going to be having, you know, a lot of long shots, second shots into the green. And, you know, if you miss the greens around Pebble Beach, there's usually a cliff somewhere. You know, where there's water down there, so
right.
You're in trouble. But
so accuracy and length.
Yep, accuracy and length. And you know, that's a nice asset to have both of those. But I think that, you know, that's a fun tournament to watch, because really, I was watching an interview yesterday with one of the pros, and they said this is the one tournament where you come to a golf tournament. It's a PGA event, but you're not the star. You know, it's the celebrities there. It's the guys that, you know, because it's a pro-am. And, all the celebrities, the actors and the sports figures of the world, they're all there. So they're kind of take away the fame of the golfers who are actually competing, which I thought was kind of cool that those guys can actually really focus in on what they're doing on the golf course with all these guys that the celebrities and the fans that are paying attention to those guys, not the golfers. So it's kind of cool. But it's a great place to be.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Charlie calling in from Maine. Charlie, you're up.
Charlie.
Hey, Jeffrey. And hi, Anita.
Hi.
John has never looked better, so I'm glad you're there.
yes, I would agree. Definitely.
You hear that? Hey, I just wanted to talk a little bit about our offensive line. And I wasn't really happy with them letting Beattie go. Especially not even offering him, asking him if he would take a pay cut. I think he is our best left tackle. And let me just read you something from Pro Football Focus. This is about Flowers. He not only had the worst overall grade of all offensive tackles, both right and left, who played in at least 75% of their team's offensive snaps. That was 45 players. He was last. But he also allowed the most quarterback hurries, 47, the second most quarterback hits, 17, and he was also tied with several other players who allowed 5 quarterback sacks. So, in other words, he was the worst offensive tackle in the NFL. Now, even if he gets better, he's not going to go up to the top 10. He's going to go in the middle of the pack, which is mediocre. So we've got a left tackle that is mediocre, and Beattie was better than mediocre. Flowers is not a left tackle. He is a right tackle, and he might just be a swing backup tackle. I think we reached for him, and, yeah, you can say he had a bad ankle, and he'll get better. He was a rookie, but he has not learned any technique. He had 4 years in college, or I think four, three anyway, and he had a year to learn technique. He hasn't learned technique. So why would we let Beattie walk and keep this guy, as our left tackle? Now, if they bring in a left tackle, what I would do, I would bring in a left tackle, a veteran, a good left tackle, move Flowers to the right side, and also bring in a veteran right tackle and let Flowers compete. If he beats him out, he's our right tackle. If he doesn't, he is our swing backup tackle. I don't understand why we keep players like a Coon, I'm not saying cut Flowers, but...
Almost, you are.
Almost, but no, I'm giving him another year to see where he's going to go, but...
Charlie, I'm putting you in the new head coach's office. You always want to throw people in the office. You're going into his office today.
I hope so.
Because I don't know what you're drinking in the water up in Maine today, but it makes no sense to me what you're saying, Charlie. Come on.
Really?
You're going to have a first round draft pick who played last year, almost all 16 games,
And the now worst tackle in the NFL.
He's playing out of position. He's learning a new position. Second of all, so you're going to move him to right tackle and compete with a free agent that you're going to pay a lot of money to get, and now you have a first rounder that's going to be sitting the bench and be your swing tackle. Come on.
If he is not the best, I want the best five offensive linemen on the field to protect Eli. And if he is not, then he sits on the bench and he is our depth. He is our swing tackle.
All right,
that's the problem with the Giants. We don't put the best players out there. You know, Jerry's ego is going to get set aside, and if he reaches for this guy and this guy isn't going to be the great left tackle they think he's going to be or the great right tackle he thinks going to be, we're going to hang on to this guy for 4 years until we find out, like we did with Robinson.
Well, I think we need a little bit more
Charlie,
than one
thank
year.
You. Thank you for the phone call. Now, I will say this.
Bye, Charlie.
I've heard what Charlie just communicated to us. I've heard not to that degree, but I've heard, again, from other scouts and other coaches that they weren't thoroughly impressed with Eric Flowers, that they feel that he would be better set on the right side playing right tackle as opposed to left tackle.
That's fine. Then move him over there, but he's not going to sit the bench and be a swing offensive lineman.
Nobody's saying that. Charlie's saying that. I did not hear that. But also, again, keep in mind, there's going to be a new position coach here. I think Charlie is right in that regard. I didn't see Eric Flowers develop in regard to his skill set.
So you want to move him to the right and see if he can develop another
year. You saw him. I mean, he's a bull. You saw him. He's just so strong and so powerful, and he relies so heavily on his muscle and his strength. That's what I'd like to see. Regardless, right or left. I'd like to see him work with it. Whatever position coach comes in, I want to see him work with that position coach and develop his skill set better. The technique. I think he needs to find appreciation for the fact that you have taken the step up from college to the pros, and you do need to hone your skills and you need to improve your skills. Just because you went 9 overall doesn't mean that you don't isn't room for improvement. You're always looking to improve.
No, you always have to. As a professional athlete, always have to improve. I will tell you this: there's a little bit of onus on the player, because I will tell you that Coach Flaherty is a pretty darn good football coach, and I know the way he coaches. Yes, you have to be able to try to get better every single day and every week and every month and every of the season. But, you know, you have to want to be able to do that. And I think he does, whether it's right tackle or left tackle. I like the toughness of him. I like his leadership qualities. I think he's going to be one of the leaders on that offensive line. And with him and Pugh and Richburg, I think all those guys collectively can have a good season. I want to see it out of him. I want to see him here in the offseason and really kind of breaking it down with the new coach. Get in there, whatever it's right or left, Anita. You know, who's right or who's wrong, just get out there and play and get better and be better for this football team.
All right, we've got 3 more callers left on the line. So let's do this. Let's try to run through everybody quickly as possible. Let's go. Is it Madigan? Madigan calling in from Illinois. What you got for us?
Hi. I'm a first-time caller, but I've been listening to your show for a while. I love it.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for that.
Well, welcome in.
Okay, thanks. I wanted to talk about the running back rotation a little bit.
Okay.
And I know not a lot of people were a fan of this 4-man rotation. I'm one of those people.
Well, it went away. It went away towards the end of the season, which I think made everybody happy, right?
Yeah, and it was great because you saw Rashad Jennings getting 150 yards a game, which I think we saw that if Rashad Jennings had been getting most of the carries this whole season, I think our running game would have looked a lot better. But I also want to say that I think that while Rashad Jennings is a good player and it would have been best if he had gotten all the carries, he's 31, and he's not our long-term solution at running back. And that's why I'm really worried about how Orleans Dark was being underutilized. Now, I know you guys remember the game Dallas at New York when Orleans Darkwa came in that drive, and it was just, what, four or five straight carries where he was getting like 10 yards a carry, and it was great. I mean, I know you guys remember that.
Yep.
And I truly believe that he is the best running back on this roster. I think he has the most talent. he gets through that hole so fast, and he just somehow just breaks tackles and makes it look easy. And well, we saw this the year before in St. Louis when we were in St. Louis and Rashad Jennings was hurt. He and Andre Williams were tearing each other up.
Yeah.
And that's why, while I think Rashad Jennings is probably he would have been the answer this year, I don't think he's our long-term solution. And I think next year, if we're looking forward and we're trying to win in the next 3 years, I think Rashad Jennings needs to be starting to get phased out a little bit, because I think that Andre Williams, while he hasn't done well lately, I think he's a good player, and I think if he gets more carries, he can be good. And I think Orleans Darkwa and Andre Williams really complement each other's skill sets, and I think that would be a really, really good two-man rotation at running back. What do you guys think?
Well, I think that you're going to see Orleans Darkwa got hurt last year, so that kind of what happened a little bit on the rotation. But I think that finally, you know, when that rotation was going on, none of those guys really stepped up and proved to anybody that they could be the workhorse or the bell cow until as of late when Rashad Jennings got in there and they started pounding the football and he started making hay with it. They said, hey, you know what? This guy is going to do it. So going forward, I think that you'll see Orleans Darkwa get a chance in training camp this year. I think they're obviously going to give him some opportunity. I don't know what's going to come out with how – you know, know that Jennings will be back. He's going to get the share of the carries. There may be another addition at this running back position. It might be a high draft pick. Who knows? But I think that all of them will have their shots to try to make this team. You know, this is going to be now up to Ben McAdoo and Jerry Reese collectively who they want to keep at those running back positions too. Orleans Darkwa is a very, very good special teams player. So you want to have him on that team. Just for that, it doesn't bother me at all either.
Let's go to Greg in Virginia. Greg, welcome in.
Hi, Greg.
Hey guys. How you doing today?
Very good. Very good. What's happening?
Thanks for working. Yeah, I agreed with the guy from Jacksonville about Schwartz. And, yeah, I thought it was strange that he came out and said that he wouldn't like to play with his brother, especially coming, you know, from the stance that he, you know, really is underachieved. I was like, why would this guy go on record saying he wouldn't be okay with the team making the move? Like, play your position, man. Get on the field. Don't talk about who you'd be cool with the Giants signing and not, especially when you suck.
Well, but, he doesn't have to worry about it now.
Yeah. So I hope we do bring his brother in. He's never missed a snap. He's relatively young. Big upgrade over Jeff. Or just a nice addition to the offensive line. I'm going to try to stay positive. I was thinking that you guys could start doing like a prize or some like like some trivia or something. Because that'd be cool, you know, get the fans interacting, get some merchandise out there, like a Seagulls photo sign or something, you know?
There you go. We'd have to bring – we got to do it to Tino with the trivia stuff because he's all about
Isn't he
the
best?
Yeah. He knows that
I've got a doozy. I've been saving it for him. I just – sometimes I get off topic and, you know, I actually want to talk about real pressing issues. But also, you guys should look at Noah Spence, Scooby Wright, and Kendall Fuller. Kendall Fuller is a cornerback who tore his meniscus from Virginia Tech. He was an All-American before the season. He's got like three or four brothers who are also in the NFL. They say he's way better than all of them. Scooby Wright, he's just all over the field, the linebacker from Arizona. He also tore his meniscus, but came back from it. And then Noah Spence was the guy who was originally on Ohio State and got kicked off for doing ecstasy, but then signed or got with EKU. I was watching film on him, and I think he's better than Joey Bosa, just off pure talent. It's just he has the ecstasy thing, so.
Well, listen, take care. You can listen into the show because Anita and John are going to be down at the Combine. Those guys are all going to be there, I would imagine. So we'll see what happens with those.
Anyone listening, just look YouTube those guys. We'll start seeing some nice players.
Greg, thank you for the call. Let's
Greg. We're trying to wrap it up here. We got one more.
Let's end with Steve in D.C. Steve, bring it home.
Okay. Well, man, a lot of these calls, you know, stole my thunder, but I'm going to go ahead and jump on the back of my good friend Charlie from Maine. And let me tell you something. I'm not going to take it as far as say that Flowers should not play, but clearly I believe he has the potential to possibly be a Pro Bowler at right tackle.
I do.
He clearly struggled at left tackle. I'm just tired of the only playing who we pay kind of thing. You know, the whole culture has to change. We need competition. He's clearly not going to end up being the best left tackle. So if he's there, it's a problem because he's struggling. He was the last. Why would we want last? The last, you know, the last ranked player as our left tackle. It doesn't even make a bit of sense. I don't know what happened with Beattie as far as his health, but I am extremely disappointed that we let him go without trying to, if we didn't try to work out something. Unless it's a health issue, he was clearly had been rated top four in Pro Football Focus last year. He was healthy. It makes no sense. I mean, they better have a real good plan. But if it's, you know, this four running back rotation, I want to speak on that. I'm not big on Jennings. I don't feel like Williams or any other running back actually got an opportunity to be a cowbell until the end of the season when we saw Jennings do that. But I thought Williams was probably even more capable than Jennings if he really would have gotten an opportunity. It was disgusting and painful to watch. So all I'm going to say is I'm hoping to see a culture change and some player development because players are not getting better here. That's why, you know, I don't know what Flaherty's doing, but the rookie didn't get better. You know, and I want to see linebackers, so I want you all, if you don't mind, tell me some possibilities about where you may think we might get a linebacker. Free agency, draft, you know, Walmart. I don't care where we get one. We need a linebacker. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
You're
have
welcome.
A great weekend, and have a happy Valentine's Day, guys.
All thank you very much. Time.
Well, I'll just quickly, I'll say, you know, I think the linebacker is one of the positions that they're going to have to go out and go get a free agent. And the other thing is that, you know, the culture, he mentioned the culture. The culture is going to change here. You have a new coaching staff. You have a new head coach. He's going to bring his own culture in here. He's going to do it the way he's, you know, Coach Coughlin is now gone. And the only thing around here that's going to stay like that is the clock. That's what they said. You know, other than that, this is Ben McAdoo's deal now. So he's going to change the culture. And these guys are going to buy into it, you hope. And then the coaches are going to try to coach whoever the GM goes out and gets and signs and drafts. And there is going to be a new culture. It's a new team. There's going to be a lot of different changes that go on this offseason. And sure enough, we'll be following them right here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. So we definitely will get it out of us.
Absolutely. And again, just a reminder, I know quite a few calls today in regard to the combine and the draft. We'll be broadcasting live from the Combine, myself and John Schmelk, on that Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I want to say it's the 24th, 25th, and 26th. I think those are the dates. So we're going to be there up front, personal, live, bringing you all the latest of all the guys that will be competing against one another at the Combine for sure.
23rd, 24th, and 25th is a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
So we're live the 24th, 25th, and 26th.
So it's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Yes.
Yep.
So from all of us here at the Giants organization, I know that you're celebrating Valentine's Day
yes.
early.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Wishing everybody out there a happy Valentine's and a safe and happy President's Day. And and I'll be back
and
next
a long
week.
Weekend.
Yes, yes, a long weekend. I'll be back next week. I want to say I'm with Paul DeTino. I'll give Paul.
There you go.
I'll ask Paul about his comments about Cam Newton on Tuesday. And then I believe I'm back with Lance Meadow on Wednesday as well. So
and
wishing
stay
everybody
warm.
A fantastic weekend from all of us here at the Giants. Big Blue Kickoff Live.
He's got through. 35, 30. Broken intercepted. Touchdown.